Especially when you smell all that nice aroma coming up from the basement, huh? Today is our Christmas dinner, and if you are here, we welcome you and ask you to stay and fellowship with us afterwards. But we are here this week in week two of our Advent season, so if you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of John, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And look, I wore a white shirt today and not one comment from anybody. I look better in orange. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. You just rose to the top of the favorite list right there. Yeah, that was a while ago. You could be dropped, you know, like at any time. So, John chapter 14, verse 27. Let's pray. Father God, we come again, Father, and we thank you, Father, that we do have peace in you by faith, as Leslie said. Father, that we, Father, who come by faith, Father, have a greater hope than those who don't know you. So, Father, we thank you that we know you, and that, Father, that you know us is even a greater peace, is that you know us. So, Father, we just bow our heads, Father, and we come and ask that you speak to us today through your word. We ask, Father, that that the things that will be said today will be truth, Father, and they will bring a deep understanding, a meaning, Father, of who you truly, truly are to us and the gift that you truly are to us. So, Father, as your church and as your people, we bow humbly before you. We ask you to forgive us of our sin, Father, that there will be nothing that would stand between us and your speaking unto our hearts and our minds and our souls today. And Father, as always, as your servant, I Father, come before you, Father, knowing that I just present myself to you as a servant, that you could do with me as your will. And so, Father, I pray that if I'm going to say something that is not true or not of you, Father, I pray that you would silence my lips, Father, and or change my words, or sit me down and rise up the one that you have to speak for you today. It is for your glory and for your honor, Father, that I would even consider to speak. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. The words that Steve and Leslie read for us this morning are probably the verses most recognized when it comes to the Christmas story. The birth announcement of a real baby, a real live baby named Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, as shepherds kept watch in their fields, an angel of the Lord and proclaimed, verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, very important, a Savior, a Messiah, who is Christ the Lord. You know, this was a grand announcement. It was a huge announcement. It was a long-awaited announcement, but it was filled with joy and it was filled with splendor as a multitude of heavenly hosts proclaim in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And on earth peace. You see, we must understand, according to Scripture, when Jesus was born, peace came to earth. Amen? A gift that came packaged together. Jesus and peace, a gift that came packaged together. They are one and the same. Where one is, the other is. Where Jesus is, peace is. Can anybody say amen to that? Jesus Christ came into the world to bring peace. But here is the truth. As we take a look at the world that we live in, the world around us, the world where our Savior was born to bring peace, we see anything but peace today, don't we? Just look at any newspaper, turn on any television news, any world news, local news. It doesn't matter. There is no peace on earth. In fact, there's conflicts looming everywhere, even in our own backyards, right? I mean, you don't have to go far to see that. But you know, I believe that we live in a world that wants peace. I want peace. Do you want peace? We live in a world that wants peace. I believe that we live in a world that is looking for and searching for peace. But yet, it doesn't seem like we live in a world that is filled with peace. It doesn't seem like we live in a world that is filled, that people seek to desire. It actually looks like we have nothing but turmoil everywhere you turn. And listen, we can definitely bring this down to a more personal level. Turmoil and division are not only on a worldwide scale, but turmoil and division can get downright close and personal. Amen? I mean, it can get right down into your very own household, right down into your very own spirit, can it? Amen? Many have experiencing it, are experiencing it. We have turmoil and conflicts in our homes, in our families, in our friendships, in our jobs, in our faith. You know, it's all over in our marriages and with our children. I mean, there's turmoils everywhere. And all you have to do is open your eyes and open your ears to hear to hear that and see that everywhere we look, people are tormented by troubles. And many struggle, honestly, many struggle just to make it through the next day. You know, that you might be sitting here and think, I don't understand that. Well, you're right, you don't understand it. Because sometimes it's a struggle just to get out of bed in the morning for some people. And there is division and conflict at every corner. But you know, on Christmas Day in the year 1863, during the time of the American Civil War, after his son had suffered crippling war injuries, and after his wife Fanny tragically died in a house fire, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a poem that tells of his despair, of his agony, of his depression when he heard the Christmas bells ringing that day. Now, I'm sure that you will recognize the poem that was later set to music. It starts like this. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, O peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Till ringing and singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south. And with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Well, I think we all can empathize with Longfellow here. Have you ever bowed your head and thought, really, God? Have you ever done that? Listen, I've done that. Sometimes over the stupidest things, especially if I'm working on something in the garage. I mean, you know, something will happen and, you know, you're fighting it. Then all of a sudden, something really stupid will happen and I'll back up and I'll start laughing and I'll say, really, God? Really? Right now, right here, like this is what you got for me? And I'll just look like in disgust. Really, God? Is this really the way it's supposed to be? What am I saying? There's no peace. I have no peace in this. God, what's the problem here? Now, the world defines peace. Watch. Now, the world defines peace as a state of harmony and the absence of hostility. Peace is described as the opposite of war and conflict. World peace is viewed as a state of harmony, absent of hostility, absent of war, absent of conflict. So by the world's definition of what peace is, I think that we all in this congregation here today can agree there is no peace on earth. There is none. I mean, you just seen where they signed this thing to make Jerusalem the headquarters or the capital of Israel, and they're all crying, well, this is going to disturb the peace process. Listen, I'm 56 years old, and since I can remember, there has been no peace. It's been disturbed for a long time, but you see what I'm saying here? There is no peace on earth. What did Longfellow write? He says, for hate is strong, clearly does mock the song. But yet the angels come and they proclaim that very thing. The angels come and said, peace on earth. On that very first Christmas over 2,000 years ago, and the multitudes of heavenly hosts announced, for today a Savior was born, who is Christ the Lord, and on earth peace. So on this second day of Advent, in a world full of torment and conflict, I would like to show you the peace that the angels proclaimed, that the peace that the angels were proclaiming that was born on that sacred first Christmas morning. And you know what? It's a wonderful, absolute, wonderful gift from God. So turn with me to the book of John, chapter 14, verse 27. In this text, we find Jesus, the adult man Jesus, in the upper room at the Last Supper, as he is preparing the disciples for when he no longer will be present physically among them. He's telling them what's going to happen to him. And late that same night, Jesus was arrested and then later crucified. And then you all know he died. But immediately before his crucifixion and death, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, to his followers. He said this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now this verse tells us three things that we must realize to have a true peace. First, Jesus said this, peace I leave with you, which means that he is the source of our peace. Jesus Christ is the source of our peace. And then when he said, my peace I give to you, it means that he is the supplier of our peace. And when he said, not as the world gives do I give to you, therefore let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, Jesus is saying this. He's saying, I am the sustainer of your peace. Three are very important things. So you see, when Jesus Christ was born in that lonely little stable in Bethlehem as a tiny little newborn baby, he brought peace to the world. And when he left this world as a man, he left us the same peace that he brought. He left it with us, among us. So even in a world full of chaos, in a world full of turmoil, a world full of conflicts, it is clear to me that the source of true peace is found solely and remotely in God, the God-man, Jesus the Christ. Fully God, fully man, peace is solely found in him. Therefore, Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection completely and totally encompassed peace. Not for him. It totally encompassed peace toward you, toward me, toward man, and peace for all men and women who will believe in him. He will bring to you peace. So first in our text this morning, we find this. Jesus is the source of our peace. In the 15th and 16th chapters of the book of John, as Jesus continued to prepare the disciples for his departure, Jesus told them that the world would hate them. That's nice, right? I'm going to give you peace, but look, the world's going to hate you. He says the world would hate them in chapter 15, verse 18, and that hardships would come. It's not if they come. He says they would come in John 16, verse 2, and that they would suffer because of his name. Does that sound peaceful to you? But then in John 16, 33, he told them this. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, very important, in me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Understand, in this world, my friends, you will have troubles. Listen, life can bring us to despair. So in order to combat hopelessness, we need to know what peace is, and we need to know how to get it. What is true peace, and how do we get it? That's why Jesus said this, in me, you will have peace. But in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. Take heed. Listen up. I have overcome the world. What is he saying there? I have overcome all the things that this world has brought against you. I've overcome everything the world has brought against me. In me, I have overcome those. And if you're in me, so will you. You see, true peace is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In me. It's in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. David recognized this when he said in Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, he says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. How many of us have problems with that? I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And then over in Psalm chapter 29, verse 11, look what he says. He says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Do you understand what David is saying here? David is saying simply this. He's saying, I can lie down at night and sleep in peace. I could do that. Why? Knowing that you, Lord, will give me safety. That you, Lord, will give me strength. That no matter what else is going around me, in you, Lord, I can rest. You see, when you're at peace with God, when you are personally at peace with God, his Holy Spirit will bring a peace that is beyond our comprehension. It's the peace that he left with us, his Holy Spirit. When you are in connection with God, excuse me, he will bring a peace that you can't even begin to comprehend. Listen, peace is a blessing. Peace is a blessing from God. And when you believe in Jesus Christ and follow him, that blessing is yours for the taking. God is offering it to you, to give it to you. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing for you for the taking. When you believe in Jesus Christ and respond to him in repentance and for the forgiveness of your sins as the Lord and the Savior, then his Spirit lives within you. His comforter. The Holy Spirit is often inside, described as a friend and as a comforter, is that his Spirit will come as a believer and it will take up residence. He will reside within you. His divine peace takes up residence and if that residence is in you, and his Spirit resides in you at all times, not just in the good times, not just on the mountaintop times. He resides in you at all times. In fact, his word says this: he will never leave you nor forsake. So listen, when you know the source of peace, only then will you have peace. Because only Jesus can truly supply peace. Peace that can overcome the fear that is often in our spirits. He can provide peace for those torments that are going on inside of you. He can settle that down when you seek him. Watch, which leads me to point number two. Jesus is the supplier of our peace. He's the source of our peace, but he is the supplier of our peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Did you notice that there? Did you notice there in that text that peace is given to us when we experience the gift of Jesus in our lives? When you know Jesus, you know peace. You see, true peace is not the absence of war. That's not the peace we're talking about this morning. We're talking about an internal spiritual peace. True peace is not the absence of war. True peace is not the absence of a personal hardships and burdens. If I went across this congregation this morning and asked anybody, have you ever, never, ever, ever had once in your life any kind of personal hardship or burden in your life, I would have to say nobody in this room could say, that's me, I've never had that. We're not talking about that. True peace is when the relationship between you and God is right. You hear me? True peace is when the relationship between you and God is right. And you know it's right. Anybody get letters from Brother Haas? Is he right? He's right. How can he possibly have peace in a situation being separated from his wife and his family and sitting in a place with bars, behind bars, but yet in his spirit, in his soul, he is at peace. Is he happy where he's at? No. But he's at peace. And therefore, when the outflow of that comes, you see it. What he's usually writing encouragement to whoever he writes. He's sitting in there and he's writing letters of encouragement to us out here. You see that? When your relationship between you and God is right and you know it's right, then there's peace. Because when we trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, when you truly understand what was at bay, where you stood before God in your sin, when you recognize what your position was before God to be eternally separated from Him, and then He forgives you of that, wipes it away, cleans off the slate. When we repent of those sins and we begin to follow Him, then the Holy Spirit starts to take up residence and places in us a sense of peace, a sense of confidence, which Paul describes as what? Is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Is something supernatural. We can see it, right? It's something supernatural. Now watch, non-believers do not have this gift. Non-believers don't have this gift. They don't have this blessing, I should say. In fact, people who live their lives without Jesus Christ, although they may seem to have a comfortable life, they can. They may seem to have a comfortable life, and you know what? And although they may even seem to enjoy a carefree life, no rules, no nothing, no hindrance, there's no boundaries, there's nothing. They just seem like everything is carefree, zippity doo all day, just going along with, you know, happy thoughts and everything. That's okay. But let me tell you what, down in here, down on the inside, they don't have peace. They don't have internal peace. They don't have peace spiritually. This life is good. Yeah, that's okay. It might be. But down in, they know that if something is not right, and it's unsettling. It's unsettling. And it will not let it go, and they have no peace in here. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 2, he said this, why spend your money on that which does not satisfy? Why spend your money on that which does not satisfy? Now, how true is this, all right? Because all too often we try to buy or manufacture peace from outside sources, and what we find is nothing more than devastation and despair. And why is that? Well, here's what I believe. I believe it's because money is not the source of peace. What does the Bible say money is? It's the root of all evil. But we try to make money to give us happiness, to give us peace. But money is not the source of peace. The Scripture clearly points that out. Therefore, because it's not the source of peace, money cannot sustain peace. It will just keep costing you more and more and more. Jesus talked about a man in Luke chapter 12, verses 19 through 20, who figured his wealth would buy him peace and he could take life easy. But God said to him, you fool. He said, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Meaning this, you're trying to buy your way and do all this through your money. He says, and you're a fool because you're going to die tonight. Listen, if you knew you were going to die tonight, do you have peace? If you knew that tonight, sometime between now and this evening, and the sun goes down, you're going to die, do you have peace? Now you're getting to the peace we're getting to here, you see? Listen, Jesus is telling us here today that there is only one true source and supplier of peace, and it is through and in Him and Him alone. So why is it that so, now listen, I'm getting on your Christians. So why is it that so many of us Christians lack peace? Why is it that so many Christians lack peace?
I believe it's because somewhere along the way we have a fracture in our connection to Jesus Christ. We have a fracture in our connection to our relationship to Jesus. Jesus said in John 15:5, he says, during this very same text, Jesus is giving instruction to his disciples as he's preparing them for his death. He said this to them as he says this. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, what does it say? You can do nothing. Now, at our house, my wife's favorite flower is daisies. Or daisy type flowers, but daisies. And we have wild daisies that grow on our property. We plant them everywhere there's an empty spot. But every now and then, when we get a really hard rain or a strong wind, we'll go out and see that the stem of the daisies are broken. And the daisies are broken, or they're just lying down on the ground. Now, they are not broken completely off, but they are just kind of bent. You know what I'm talking about there? The stem may have a break in it or a fracture in it, and you all know what I'm talking about, right? When you look at that, you just kind of... Well, you have to understand this. Eventually what happens is the flower at the end of the stem, what does it do? It withers up and it dies, doesn't it? And that's because why? Because the wind or the rain weakened the stem, causing a fracture or causing a break between the root system and the flower. The flower is the fruit on the end. Jesus said this. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Likewise, when we get a fracture in our connection to the vine, Jesus Christ, our spiritual life begins to wither up. And if we're not careful, it'll die. Now, sometimes those fractures are caused by the harsh conditions around us. Amen? They're caused by the harsh conditions around us. Sometimes life and the hardships therein cause us to lose our focus. The wind and the rain of life cause us to disconnect from the vine. And what happens when we start getting that nourishment in there because of all those hardships and those things, that the storms that come against us in our life, we begin to disconnect. What's that fracture look like? It looks like anger. It looks like bitterness. It looks like rage and the like of those kind of things. They come in the midst of the storm, and they fracture our connection to God. In other times, we just snap the stems off ourselves. Sometimes we just snap the stems off ourselves when we get wrapped up in things that the Bible clearly says that we shouldn't. Things like sexual immorality, drunkenness, lying, gossiping, stealing. You all know what I'm talking about. You all know what I'm referring to in your own life. You say, well, that's getting personal. Listen, sin. Sin. We all have it. And if we think that we're a congregation that it's above that, you better really reconsider that. Listen, sin, we all have it. And listen, we all struggle with it. I struggle with it. You struggle with it. But I have to tell you, sin, my friend, sin causes a fracture or a break in our relationship with the Holy God. That's what sin does. And once that breaks, our peace with God is fractured and is disconnected, and this flows into every other area of our lives. So listen, we can find peace, or we can reclaim peace by declaring war on sin. And I'm going to tell you something, Open Door Baptist Church. We need to get busy about doing that. Listen, sin is sin. We need to stand against it. We need to be at war against sin. Sin is the disease that destroys peace. Listen, you want the sin problem to get rampant in this church? It will destroy the unity and the peace and the focus of this church. Sin puts a wall up between you personally and God. Or sometimes the problem is that we try to rely upon ourselves to control the situation. You know, control freaks. We try to rely upon ourselves to control the situation and to manage the problem. I don't need God in this. I can handle this all by myself. We want to be in control. And once we realize that we don't have that control, it won't take you long to figure out that you got yourself in a situation that you can't get yourself out of. When the problems are bigger than our ability to cope, what happens? We get depressed. We begin to lose hope. We allow a fracture in our branch and in our relationship with our source. You see that? We have a fracture in our relationship with our source and supplier of peace, Jesus the vine. And then what happens is we begin to wilt and we begin to falter. And sometimes the problem is because we are not spending time with God's people. We are not spending time in God's word. We're not spending time with God in prayer. Therefore, what happens is we become weary. We become burdened. We become beaten down. We become heavy laden. And we allow a fracture in the branch. Then we have a weak connection to the vine. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, these are profound. These are the word for you today. It's a word for every one of us in here today. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Look what he says. Come to me. I will give you peace. Come to me. I will heal what ails you. Come to me. Why? Because Jesus is the supplier of peace. Because why? Because he is peace. And he instructs you to come to him to get it. He says for you to come to him to get it, to receive it. He wants to give it, but you've got to come to receive it. And listen, and some of you know this, those who abide in him know peace. Amen? Those who abide in him know peace and experience peace. Amen? And finally, here's the third thing. Jesus is the sustainer of our peace. You know, a while back I was talking to a lady and she said this to me, and I'm paraphrasing this now. She said this. She said, at times I feel that everything in my life is in chaos. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands right now, but I see you. She said, there's at times I feel that everything in my life is in chaos. I feel like everyone is against me. I feel like everything around me is falling apart. I feel like everything around me is in turmoil. I feel like I can never get a break. But she said this, but there's one thing that I am sure of, she said, and that's my salvation, and that my Redeemer lives. Peace. And nobody can take that, she said. Isn't that awesome? And nobody can take that, she said. Nobody can touch that. Nobody can mess that up. And that's what I hold on to. How many of you are holding on? It's like that little kid that wraps around his daddy's leg. And he's wrapped around it and daddy's kind of carrying on her foot. That's what she's talking about. In the midst of the chaos, I know I've got something that nobody can take, so I'm going to hold on to that. As a child of the King, as a child of the source of peace, I'm going to hang on to that. She said to me, she says, knowing that my Redeemer lives is the only thing that pulls me through. It's the only thing that keeps me going. It gives me peace to know that the Lord is in control. How many of you truly know that the Lord is in control today? Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through right now, do you really know that the Lord is in control? If you do, hang on. Hang on. It's not in my time, it's in God's time. Hang on. Cling, cling. Don't let go. But do you hear what she's really saying? She's saying this in reality. She's saying Jesus is the sustainer of my peace. And when all around you seems to be out of control, don't fear because he's in control. Now listen, that takes some true faith. That's someone who's connected. You get it? There's not a fracture. That's someone who's connected. You know what? That means this. That means even when things aren't going according to your plans, They're going according to His. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand what's going on in my life. I don't need to understand what's going on in your life. God knows what's going on in your life. He understands. He gets it. When things are going, He wants you to cling to Him. Listen, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, even when things seem to be spinning out of control, He will sustain you if you truly believe and trust in Him. And listen, Jesus did not leave us here alone to deal with life all by ourselves. He gave us His Spirit. So that when life is wearing us down and life gets heavy, when life got us feeling defeated, His Spirit will carry our burden. Listen, He says, cast your burdens upon Me. I used this in counseling the other day. He says, cast your burdens on Me. He didn't say, ask Me to take them. He says, give them to Me. There's a difference. You see what I'm saying there? He's saying this. He's saying, if you truly trust in Me, we're not alone. His Spirit will carry our burden. Understand this. Confidence. Watch. Confidence in the promises in the Word of God will bring peace. Faith in the promises of God's Word will bring peace. How? Through the Spirit of God, when we call up on His name. And you may be sitting here thinking, but I do. But listen, just hold on. He's probably working something out. He's probably working something out through in your life, through whatever that circumstance is going on. He's working something out. His Spirit, listen, and if we listen and we are in tune and we go to find God, we go to His Word, don't go to the worldly things, but go to His Word. Listen, His Spirit will give us guidance. His Spirit will sustain us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do you understand? That's a promise. That's a promise. And Paul tells us how to tap into that. Watch, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Look what he says there. These are my wife's life verses. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. See, this isn't a world peace. This isn't a worldly peace. This is a divine peace. This is a supernatural peace. This is a peace that comes directly from the heart of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. The two places that we struggle internally the most. The two places in our hearts and our minds. Look, I will guard your hearts and minds. How will He do it? Through, in Jesus Christ, in that relationship. Let me paraphrase this. Only when I let my request be known to God, that's when I can be anxious for nothing. Because when I'm letting my request be known to God, I've turned it over to Him, I've given it to Him, and I'm not trying to control it myself. That's when I can be anxious for nothing. By letting the One who is in control of all things take care of our needs, take care of your needs, my needs, only then can we be at peace. Listen, if we do not let go and let God, then we'll have to carry the weight of the burdens all by ourselves. And God did not design us to carry burdens. He didn't. He didn't design us to carry burdens. You know what He did? He created us to depend on Him. He created us to trust in Him and to understand. To understand that all things, Romans 8:28, all things work together. Your circumstance that you're in right now, the hardship that you're in right now, the trial that you're in right now, the burden that you're in right now, the joy that you're in right now, the blessing that you're in right now, all things work together for the good. For who? For who? For everybody? No. For those who love God. and for the good of those who have been called according to his purpose. And listen, if he wanted us to carry burdens, then he would have created us with four legs and a strong back. Amen? That's what he would have done. But instead, he created us to trust him. Look at verse 7. He says, "And the peace of God," there it goes, "which surpasses all understanding," it's divine, "which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now watch. I'm going to show you something here scripturally, textually, okay? Only when you do verse 6, you know, Chris, you can show verse 6. Only when you do verse 6, read that. Only when you do verse 6, can you have verse 7. I didn't write that. That's in God's word. Listen, prayer is what sustains our peace with God. Prayer, folks, that is what it's all about. When we entrust our problems and needs to him, we can experience his peace, his true peace. No matter what else is going on around you, you can be at peace. How would you like that, right? No matter what's going around. Prayer, listen, prayer is like making a call to 911, and when you do that, you're knowing that help is coming, that help is on its way. Because as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the assurance of Jesus himself as the source of your peace, as the supplier of your peace, and as the sustainer of your peace. Now let me tell you something as your pastor. I have to tell you this as your pastor. I have to tell you, I believe, and this comes from ministering to people for years, I believe the number one reason people lack peace is because they are unsure of their eternal salvation. It is. People will say to me, "Pastor, how can I be sure that when I die, I'll go to heaven? How can I know for sure, Pastor?" You know what these people are saying to me? I don't know, but they're saying, "I lack peace." With who? With God. Listen, without Jesus, after we looked at this text, without Jesus, you will never have the peace that you're looking and longing for. Without the forgiveness of your sins, you will never have spiritual peace with God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," not by works, not by giving money, not by how good you are, how much you do. He says, "Therefore, being justified by faith that Jesus died on the cross for my sin and that he rose again to have victory over my sin, that justified, and I believe that by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Having been justified by faith, we have peace. Listen, there's an old saying that goes like this. Know Jesus, N-O. N-O. Know Jesus, no peace. Then there's one that says this. Know Jesus, K-N-O-W. Know Jesus, no peace. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I mean, you personally don't know him. You have doubts of your eternal security, your eternal salvation, your relationship with God. I mean, being completely and totally connected to him, the vine and the branch. Listen, if that's you, you're not sure, you don't know, then you do not know true peace. So this morning, I invite you to come. What did Jesus say earlier in the text? He says, "Come to me. Come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me." I want to invite you to come to Jesus. Come and confess that you are a sinner. Listen, that's not it. Don't stop there. It's not just merely confess that you're a sinner. Then agree to repent of those sins. Agree before a holy God that if he forgives you in everything in your power, you will repent of those sins. But it starts out to reach out to Jesus Christ. How does that start? You reach out to Jesus Christ by faith. What does that mean? I believe that what the Word of God says is true, and that because it's true, I need to abide by this Word in my life. So by faith, I'm going to reach out to Jesus Christ by faith, knowing that He alone has the power to forgive me of my sins. The sins that separate me from Him forever and ever. It also separates me from the peace that I'm looking for. Now, I want to tell you something very uniquely about the word believe. Believe is an action word. Believe is an action word. That means this. That means your actions are proof of your belief. That your actions are proof of your belief. So reaching out and calling upon Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and then commit to follow Him all the days of your life, not just when things are good, but all of the days of your life, that's true peace, my friends. That is belief in action right there, that I will follow no matter what. Jesus Christ was born into this world to bring peace. And Jesus died and left the world with peace, His peace. That's important, folks. That's one of the most important things of the Christmas story that I can relate to you. Jesus Christ died and left this world with peace. It's a live-in peace. It's a resident peace. It's in here. It's not out there. It's a never-ending peace. Amen? Why? Because He arose from the dead. And you know what He said when He arose and descended into heaven? He says, I'm coming back. I'll be back. I'm coming back. And listen, and when He returns, you know what He's bringing? Eternal peace. Amen? Amen, right? Ephesians 2:14 says this. Jesus says that Jesus Himself is our peace. He who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. What is the wall of separation? Sin. Sin. It puts a barrier between you and God. And Jesus broke down that wall, and He interceded on your behalf. Your behalf, your behalf, your behalf, every one of your behalfs, my behalf. He interceded on your behalf, and He took on your sin on the cross, and He provided the way for us to have peace with our Creator. You know what peace, real inner peace is relationship. We have a relationship with the One who created us. Now, I didn't read you the entire Christmas Bells poem. I saved the best stanza for last. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Okay, here it is. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. With peace on earth. Peace is here. Why? Because Jesus came. And He did not leave us alone when He left. He says, my spirit, I leave with you. And get this, our God is not dead, nor does He sleep. Instead, He came with peace, as peace, so that you could have peace and live in peace with Him eternally. Amen? Many of us in this place this morning, whether you want to admit it publicly or not, you struggle with peace with God. Not with the world. But you struggle with peace with God. And some of you in this room don't struggle with that. And you know how I know? Because when I look at some here and say that I can see some of you that don't struggle with that, you have a smile on your face. Why? Because your relationship is right with God. Question is, if you're not, have that peace, if you do not have that peace, God says this, I want to give it. But you've got to come. You've got to come. Let's stand. Stand and bow our heads, please. The question is, do you know him today? I'm not talking about knowing about him. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, do you know him? Do you have relationship with him as your personal Savior? Do you believe in Jesus today as both your Lord and your Savior? Listen, I'm genuinely hope so. Why? Because he is the source, he is the supplier, and he is the sustainer of peace. A peace that transcends all understanding. How? Why? Because his peace is not of this world, but from God himself. Do you know him today? Can you really say that you have peace? You have that internal peace, that spiritual peace, that mind, this peace of your mind, the peace of your heart? If you don't, you come. That's what Jesus says, you come. Ask me to forgive you of your sins. Ask me to come in to be the Lord of your life. Live your life for me. I will begin to change your heart and your mind that you will know peace. Would you come? Father God, in this hour, I pray that you, that Father, your spirit move, your word has been presented. Father, I pray now that we respond rightly. We would respond rightly to your conviction, to your calling upon our life. So, Father, as this time of invitation comes, I pray those who need to do business with you spiritually, Father, they would come. I pray for those who have chaos surrounding them, Father, that need prayer support, that they would come, that there will be people who will come and who will pray with them, Father. So, Father, Christians don't have it easy. They don't. But we have you. And you overcame the world, so we can overcome it as well. But Father, if that one that doesn't know Jesus, let them come. Let them come and receive your peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.